Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 15. And we've been looking at, or we started the lesson, what is Christian character? Wisdom in character, or what is character? We discussed that. We were talking about the difference between just character and Christian character. And then we're looking at the four things. There's four things that we looked at the fact that Jesus is that foundation, as according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about Jesus as the foundation. No other, and then depending on what we build upon that foundation to determine whether it makes it through the fire of testing or not, it'll be made manifest. And we realize that there's a difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And we also seen the fact that we don't want to build our lives according to our feelings. We don't want to do that. We want to build it according to faithfulness to God's word. And then we see that. Not only there, but we look at, so as we look at the blueprint of, looking at the fact that there's four areas of that we look at in the scriptures that it teaches us that are to build on that foundation. And the first area we're going to look at is 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. And we're going to look at a few other verses along with that. But the first area that shapes our character, and we probably realize this, is the first few years of our life. And who's involved in that? Our parents. That's where we're going. And we see here in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Paul was talking to Timothy here in this letter. We're going to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and this will help us understand why he said that. I remember, and I found it, Paul had mentioned something about Timothy's grandmother and his mother. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And then if we go back to chapter 3 and verse 15, now, to me, it makes more sense because it started with his grandmother, then his mother, and then now on him, as Paul's reminding him there in verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And from a child, he was given a chance. He was given the truth as a child from his grandmother and mother. They passed it on down. That's a God-given responsibility to parents, is the simple fact is they're to raise their kids in the admonition of the Lord. They're to do that. I truly believe that it's the way the devil has won among our families is the breakdown of the home, and it started way back. That's why there was such a thing, and I'm sure you guys heard of Focus on the Family. He dealt with a lot of breaking down of the home, trying to rebuild the home, the importance of the home unit, which is a father and a mother and then the children. We have a problem today first of all, people don't believe in getting married. There's one of the issues. Second of all, there's a lot of single moms out there where the men are absent. They're nowhere to be found raising these children, so therefore we have another strike against us. And then we also see mom and dads or families are, and I've seen the situation also with single dads and no mom, where mom was absent and dad had to raise the kids, which that's commendable, but it shouldn't be that way. And we have the thing of families living outside their means, and they're a slave to debt. And what happens? They both have to work, and where do the kids go? Now, it's good when the kids can go to grandma's house. That does happen in some families. But they spend their lives, they grow up in daycares. So therefore, we lose out of the opportunity. Now they're paying somebody to raise their kids instead of them raising themselves. And we see among the younger people today, where we're dealing with instant gratification. Nobody can wait. It used to be, at least that's, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it used to be the families saved until they had the money to buy something, and then they bought it. Or the family saved until they had a real good down payment on a house before they went and tried to finance it. Today's world is not the same. We see the fact that what better way for the devil to tear apart families than to, I mean, the amount of advertisements we get in the mail, the amount of emails we get, people bombarding our emails, the amount of things that come up on the TV, if you see commercials, the amount of commercials that come up on the web when you're on the web, I mean, they're pounding. It's like a bunch of vultures. And people, and we live in a society, and it works because it's getting people to buy things they really don't need. They lead you to believe that this, you really need this, and you can't do without it. But then they end up buying something that we don't need, and then it sits around for years, and we never do nothing, and then we end up selling it at a yard sale for a buck or two. That's what usually happens. So we have a lack of discipline or no discipline among kids today because Dr. Spock and some of the other ones that taught against it. The Bible says if you spare the rod, spoil the child. There needs to be reproof. There needs to be chastening. There needs to be correction. We see a society of busyness. We know families and families today, or young families, think that their kids have to be in every activity known to man. They always have to be doing something. They don't understand peace and quiet. They don't understand having a family life. They don't understand doing the things that children do. My wife was just telling me yesterday, I think it's hilarious. It's not funny in one aspect, but it's funny is the fact is doctors are prescribing playtime for kids. Since when? When we grew up, the reason we went out and played and stayed busy and never told grandpa and grandma we were bored, because if we told them we were bored, we got put to work. So we went and stayed busy playing. We played in the dirt. We went out in the woods because we lived in the country. We did things. We stayed busy, and we stayed away from work when we were kids. You know, we didn't want to work. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. There's a reason God gives instruction as far as raising kids. There's a reason he gives us principles to live by to help us not go down some of these roads. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." This is the only commandment that we have in the Ten Commandments that promises life. It promises, there's a promise with it. "That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The nurture and admonition of the Lord. See, we're to be, that's why Timothy was a perfect example for this. As we go there, and his grandmother, and the faith of his grandmother has passed on to his mother, and then his mother passed it on to him. he had the opportunity as a young man, but not every kid does. I'd say it's less opportunity for kids to hear the truth in today's society because of the parents than it was 30, 40 years ago.
Not just that. Schools are indoctrinated into really evil.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not just neutral school. They're getting taught that in their parents.
Well, the influences, they had a big thing, and I'm thinking it's coming back up on the ballot again. Or that's why we really need to get the right kind of school board members in there, people that are conservative, people that don't want. But they're exposing kids to at a very young age to things they ought not to even think about at that age. I mean, they have sex education for first and second graders now. Or
preschool.
Okay, they're going younger. Okay. So where does a kid even have a chance to be a kid at that age when they're faced with these things that really shouldn't be addressed until later in their teens by the parents?
But it's not even just sex education.
But it's even worse.
Transgender,
they're putting books into the library that ought not to be there, things that kids ought not to see. I mean, nobody ought to see, obviously. But the point being, yes, they're but that's the way the devil works, of tearing down the families, the family unit that's so important. Then to see the second thing that we want to look at, let's go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. Second thing here. Proverbs chapter 27. And there's so much more we can say about it. I mean, I just barely skiffed the edge of it. I'm just trying to bring us to an understanding of what's going on in today's world and why it's so important for how we build on that foundation of Christ. But it starts with the parents. It starts with the family. But what's the next thing? What do you think the next thing would be? If it starts with the family, what's the next area that we would go to that would affect our how we build on that foundation?
Society,
something closer.
Community, the local community.
Well, so your family, and then what's next from family?
Friends.
That's what we're after. It's our friends. These are the people that have influences in our life. And it says there in Proverbs 27 and verse 17, 27:17, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Everybody needs a good friend, at least one. They say, if you can count on your hand the number of friends you have in a lifetime, or even one or two friends, you've got something. Because most people don't have that. Yeah, a lot of people call each other friends, but in essence, a true friend is somebody you can call any time of the day. Somebody you can depend upon, somebody you trust beyond trust. I mean, beyond the amount of trusting somebody. Somebody you can that can call on you, and you do the same for them. But it's beyond just acquaintances or somebody you meet and say, "Oh, okay, these are my friends." Well, that's not. We don't have that many friends in life. I don't have that many guys that I can call when I have a flat tire and I need help, or if I'm out on the outskirts of town somewhere, can't without walking distance 20, 30 miles out, and I get stuck in the mud, who can I call? Well, first of all, I got to have cell service if I can call anybody. But the thing is, that's the kind of friends we want. We want people that we can feel comfortable calling at any time of the day. That's not, yeah, it's going to be an inconvenience. It's going to be, not the, we're not always, when things of need come in handy, it's not always the most, it's inopportune is what I'm saying. It's not always at the best moments, but we're there for each other. That's what friends are all about. Iron sharpens iron. That's what we need to be. We need to be an encouragement to each other, especially when it comes to spiritual things, spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to be there to help each other, to encourage each other. And that's what he's talking about here. So a man sharpened the countenance of his friend. See, a true friend you can talk to and share some things with him that you don't share with just anybody. Because you know he's not going to go out and tell somebody. You know he's not going to go off and talk about you. That's a true friend. A true friend you can come to, and if there's something going on in his life and you're maybe a mentor to him, you can tell him what's going on and be firm with him, and he's not going to take it wrong because you're his friend. That's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of friend we're talking about here. See, friends can easily influence us. You've heard of the saying, birds of a feather flock together, of the same people, of the same, I've seen it multitudes of times, of the same thought process, they always find each other somehow. I don't know how they do it. I mean, the same thing that brings us together as the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, brings us together because we're to be like-minded. But friends can easily influence us. And see, the devil knows that. That's why he tries to bring things into our lives that we shouldn't have or shouldn't do. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." See, we're to keep our heart. We need to guard our heart. We need to guard our friendships. We need to, again, this is something that was told to us years ago. We need to choose our friends. Don't let the friends choose you. That way you have control over who you hang out with. But in our younger years, and even as we get older, we like to be accepted. We like to have friends. We like to have people that make us feel wanted, needed. We all have that desire. But we still got to be careful in our friendships. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Actually, before we go to 2 Corinthians, I got a couple passages here in the Old Testament. Exodus 34. Exodus 34. We sing the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." He's the closest friend we ever can have. It's a very good song. Exodus 34 and verse 12. He said, "Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee." God warned the children of Israel not to mix or intermarry with the other nations because they didn't serve him. They served other gods. And what happened when they did intermarry? It drew their hearts away from God. And that's one of the reasons he said that. In Psalm 1:1, one of my favorite verses, Psalm 1:1, says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." See, God blesses our life when we do right. Blessed is a man that walketh on the counsel of the ungodly. We don't go to the world for counsel. That's why I don't understand Christians when they go to the world or go to a psychiatrist when it's man's wisdom. It's not God's wisdom. That's why I believe in biblical counseling. That's why I believe in going to a pastor who believes the Bible, but who can counsel through the Bible. And that's why we need that. We don't need the world's influences. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." We don't keep company with these type of people. We just don't. If we're living the way we ought to live as Christians, and we're talking the way we ought to talk, and we're watching the things we ought to watch, or influencing our lives the way we ought to, guess what? If there's anybody worldly around you, they're not going to stick around because they're not comfortable if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. If the world is comfortable around you, then there's something wrong. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God's the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14 through 18. This is a very familiar verse. This is something I was first mentioned this when I actually did go to a Christian school for a short period of time when I was 16 years old. And this is one of the things they try to, you know, when they teach you, they're trying to, if you start looking for a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you know, girl looking for a boyfriend, or, and this is one of the areas that they take you to, is it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, first of all, when you're saved and you're looking for a life mate, because that's what you're doing when you get married, you ought not to be looking among the world. It's a perfect example, again, going back to the Old Testament, with the fact is the children of Israel going into the promised land were told not to intermarry with the other nations. Why? He says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then he comes down to verse 17. He says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So God says we need to be separate from the world. Now, we live among the world, but we need to be separate from it. When it comes to mates, we need to not be unequally yoked. When it comes to friendships, we need not to be unequally yoked. When it comes to business relationships, we need not to be unequally yoked. This deals with all relationships as a Christian. We're not to be yoked with the world. It's like putting a donkey and an ox in one of those things they put over their heads, yoked up. It's a yoke. And trying to see who's going to do most of the work. It's going to happen. It's going to go like this. Because the ox is not going to be able to carry the full load. The donkey's not going to be able to help. And so therefore it's going to be drawn. And that's the same thing. What happens when we get yoked up with the world, it draws us where? Away from Christ. Every time. I don't know how to explain it that way, but that's the way it works all the time. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. And then verse 14. And then we're going to look at chapter 22 and verse 24. And then 24 and verse 1 in Proverbs. So 4:14 to start with. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Okay? And then chapter 22 and verse 24, it says, make no friendship with an angry man, or with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. See, the problem is, that's why the Bible tells us evil communications corrupt good manners. I don't know how it works, but that's the way it always works. You would think that we would have the influence over somebody as Christians, but it always seems like the influence of evil tends to overwhelm the influence of good. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. We got to believe what God tells us. And then we see in chapter 24 and verse 1, it says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge, and increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. But it has to be the right type of counselors. It needs to be godly counselors to find that safety. But see, we need not to be unequally yoked with the world. In our friendships, in our our finding our mates, business partners. It doesn't matter what relationship, any kind of relationship. Now, those are close knit relationships. Okay, the closest is the marriage relationship, and then we have friendship, and then we have a business friendship here. Those are things that would, but any other friendships or any other relationships, should I say, or acquaintances, when we go door knocking, when we witness to people, that's a different aspect of our lives when we're trying to show forth Christ and share Christ. But I'm talking about these close-knit ones that have an effect on our lives. And going out to witness to people has a great effect on our lives as well in a right aspect. It encourages us in the Lord, and then when people do turn to Christ, it's something they get excited about. But our friends have a great influence in our lives. So we need to choose the type of friends we want to hang out with. We need to choose the type of people we want to hang out with. When I got saved, those things, my desires for who I hung out with changed. And then maybe you still went and were around people of the world when you got saved, but it wasn't long. They weren't your friends no more because you were different. Because they couldn't talk you into going to the parties. They couldn't talk you into going to movies. They couldn't talk you into going to do this. When you get saved, your desires change. One other thing I want to mention from the Bible, from this, when it talks about friends, and really, again, that it has a lot to do when God tells us not to intermarry with non-believers, be not unequally yoked. We got to remember there's a great influence that a lady has over a man. It's just the truth. It's just the way God made us. Now, women respond differently than men do because we're built different, we think different, and all those kind of things. And I'm not going to go into grand detail, but the point I'm trying to get across is we got to be careful the type of influences we allow in our lives. And we got to remember when a man is married, he need not to have any other friendships with ladies. That's what I meant. That's what I'm meaning to say. When I'm married, she's my best friend. She's my my spouse, and she's my wife. And there's no other women. There's no other friendships like that. Because that's what happens with these marriage relationships. They get in trouble because of the influence. We can look at David. We can look at Solomon. The influence these ladies had in his life, and it says. Let's go to the end of Nehemiah. I just want to share this with you because this is the facts. Nehemiah I believe it's chapter 13, the last part of the chapter, verse 26. Actually, start at verse 23. It says, "In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and of Moab." And this is Nehemiah speaking. "And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them and cursed them and smote them, certain of them, and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, 'Ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take your daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves.'" See, they're not to intermarry. And it says, "Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless," this is the part that's the sad part, "even him did outlandish women cause to sin." Even him. The wisest man that ever walked this earth, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, as a king. But the woman tore that man down. And we're not just talking about any women. It's how he kept peace with his enemies. He married the daughters of all these kings of these different nations. And eventually, it was just a matter of time, and it took his heart from God. And he started catering to these other gods. The type of friends we keep really have an influence on who we are. And the reason I said that about the man and the wife, as far as the influence of a lady, is we got to be careful. Because I mentioned, Wednesday night, we need to be careful of our testimonies, what it looks like and how it affects. Because we live in a day and age where separation is really not a big thing. God's people are not separated. They've allowed so much of the world in their lives that they're no longer effective witnesses for Christ. They do things that they ought not to do, and then they justify why they do it, why it's all right to do it. But instead of allowing the world into our lives, we need to spend more time drawing near to God and allowing Him to influence our lives. See, we need to have the right type of friends, preferably godly friends. And even, I know we're small as a church, but preferably people from church to be our friends. Because they're not going to lead you astray. They're not going to, Lord willing, they're not going to treat you bad. But they're the ones that you want to make friendships with. So we got to be careful of our friends, because they have a great influence of how we build on the foundation of Christ. And we need to be careful about that. I'm going to stop there. We're 5 minutes early. But I'm going to stop there because I have two more areas I need to deal with. But I don't want to deal with them today because I want to spend time in them so we can really grasp from this what we're talking about. So we see the last two areas we're going to be looking at. Not only do we look at family or our parents, you know, need to raise their children, we need to consider our friends. We need to look at those friendships that we have and how does it benefit my walk with Christ or does it hinder it? And if there's any type of friend that we have in our life that hinders our walk with Christ, we need not to have them as friends. We need not to allow them to influence our lives. Now, I'm not talking about going out and witnessing and trying to draw people to Christ. I'm not talking about trying to invite people to church. I'm not talking about that. Because they're not necessarily friends, but I have acquaintances, people that I do things with and trying to get them to come to church. Like I take some of these young men, one of them came here several Sundays ago. I take them bowling to try to witness to them, to try to bring them. Hey, Christians can have fun too. There's certain types of funds we can do that's not a dishonor to God, but we need to glorify God in everything we do. But we need to have the right kind of friends. That's the bottom line. And if it hinders our relationship with the Lord, then we need not to have it. And that goes along for anything in our life. If it's hindering our walk with God, then it needs to be removed so we can have that healthy relationship. But the other two areas that we're going to be looking at is environment, and that refers to education, it refers to church, it refers to our nation, it refers to culture. All these things have an effect on our thoughts. Our thought life has an effect on who we are. And then the last and the most important part of this, I believe, well, the most important part is the building block of parents. And then friends is important, but this one, I believe, is probably the most important, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. That's the most important part of our life. And when we're saved, God gives us the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. But what we do from that point on determines whether we yield to Him or not. That determines how the power of God is on our life or if it's not on our life. It's about submitting. It's about surrendering. It's about yielding. But we're going to be looking at that next week. We're going to go ahead and close.